All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. We are coming up to Christmas, coming up to the end of the year. We've got a fun episode today with our good friend Richard. It's the what we like to do. We're coming to the end of the year. It's good to have sort of an end of year review to look back at what happened in the world of Oasis over the last year, plus also just some other bands and other bits of music and stuff. Plus, also, I did ask for some submissions, so we've got a few bits to drop in. We've got a couple of songs and a couple of gig reviews, because Noel's been out doing gigs at the moment. So, yeah, a few bits and pieces to cover off. Also, I've just put out a Patreon bonus episode where I'm talking about, you know, the different Oasis podcast episodes over the last year. So I just go through the list of the podcast episodes just to give some thoughts and insight into some of those. And then also what I did is a little bonus where I talk about the Oasis albums ranked by how well they're produced. Not just the best album, but, you know, all based on the sounds, how it's produced, mixed, engineered, whatever. Basically, I was thinking about, like, the fact that Mark Spike Stent is back in the world doing the Liam Gallagher John Squire project. He's mixing it, so that made me think of him working on Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. And then thought I'd go back and look at Oasis albums and how they're produced. So anyway, that's over on Patreon now, so go and check it out. A couple of things that, as me and Richard were talking about sort of the what's gone on in the world of Oasis in the last year, there was a few bits and pieces that I didn't mention or we forgot to mention. So obviously, like, a big one for me personally, and Richard was there as well, was we were at Rockfield Studios for the Oasis Collectors Group meetup, which was amazing, which is a really special thing. And so that was a really big thing for me this year. Fantastic to have done that, to have played a Noel guitar, and to have seen the Wonderwall, and, you know, seen the exclusive interview with Owen Morris and stuff. So that was really great. And I do hope the guys do more this year coming up. And talking of the OCG, you know, thanks to them and, you know, and Kyle sort of going into the archives and Dan going into the archives, we did get some more stuff this year. We got a never-before-heard version of Street Fighting Man with Noel on vocals. That was very exciting. We got the Earl's Court remastered, which was really good because that's never been officially released before. We got a live version of Tomorrow Never Knows, which is really cool, recorded in 1997 with Noel on vocals, which was amazing. And we also got the Sawmill Sessions. So that was released sort of earlier in the year. We did an episode on it with Kyle and Dan, which was really interesting to hear about the history of that tape and how it came out. Obviously, the big one being the I Am the Walrus stuff. So yeah, that was obviously not official releases, but that was definitely a big part of, you know, the excitement of being an Oasis fan this year. So anyway, that's covered off the things that we didn't talk about. So let's now cross over to me and Richard talking about all the things that we did remember while we were talking. I'll see you on the other side. Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. It's a monumentous day, as we do enjoy these monumentous days. And we have a monumentous day in the world of Oasis and the Gallagher brothers. There's one person I need to talk to, and that's Richard. How you doing, man?
Hello, mate. How are we doing?
All good. All good. Merry Christmas almost.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, you all set?
Nope.
No.
Once I finish here, I need to have to like go and like buy some presents. But you know, I'm very lucky. I've got a wife that deals with most of it, so I'm very lucky in that regard. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much all set. Yeah, my wife's quite a Christmas hound, so she gets started quite early. So that kind of inspires me to get started quite early. So yeah, did my last bits and bobs yesterday. Wrapping up for work tomorrow. Kind of been hit by this cold, flu, COVID, basically, that's probably what it is. Just going around, but hopefully shift that for Monday, where we're now Thursday. But yeah, all good. Looking forward to the break, to be honest.
All good. And yeah, and our good pals Liam and John have just given us a nice little Christmas present, which is exciting. Well, if you were already skint from Christmas, well, you've just had to spend another 12 quid. So
15 quid, we included postage packaging. I've already done it.
oh wow, okay. Yeah, you know what, as I've said on here a million times, I'm not a big vinyl head. It's just not something I've ever done, but I saw that, I thought, oh, I might have to get that one actually. There's something pretty special about it.
The thing is, it's fairly obvious an album's coming, so I'm like, do I? Because I'm not really a single like seven. Well, I think it must be a 7-inch. I'm not really a 7-inch buyer. I'm more of an album kind of guy. I don't do the singles, but it's like, but what if there isn't? I mean, there probably will be, but what if
Yeah.
there isn't? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're more of a 12-inch guy than a 7-inch guy, I hear you.
That's what she said.
So just to clarify, if people aren't aware, John Squire and Liam Gallagher. So it'd been mentioned a few times, a few interviews that had come up, like, you know, Liam had said, you know, he's going to be doing some work with John Squire, and he'd sort of said, oh, we're doing an album, it's going to be better than Revolver. And you never know when Liam's on, you know, spouting that sort of stuff, if he's just bullshitting or what. But yeah, it's sort of, we got a teaser, you know, a new John Squire Twitter account appeared in the last couple of days. They both posted, Liam posted a video talking about John posted a video talking about Liam. And yeah, and then this morning so it came up yesterday, like an image of the two of them in silhouette saying it's, you know, something was coming today. And we're thinking, well, that's good, because we had already booked in to talk, and it's sort of getting to like 9:30. I'm like, come on, where is it? Like, what the hell is going on? I actually did sit up until midnight last night just to see if it had ticked over at midnight. It hadn't, so I was like, oh, okay. And then yeah, and then so we've got, you know, what we're going to get. Is it going to be a new single? Is it going to be an announcement? Is it going to be what? And so yeah, so what we've got is a announcement, a little Instagram video, a pre-save link, and you know, and all that. So yeah, it's a vinyl, it's a and a single coming out on the 5th of Jan called Just Another Rainbow. And yeah, and it's, and then we had this little snippet of a riff, very kind of Second Coming-y riff, which is exactly, I love that. You know, I love the first Stone Roses album, but in terms of that guitar playing, the John Squire guitar playing, I think Second Coming is just legendary. So yeah, what's your thoughts?
I'm very excited. I do, from a Liam perspective, I like the fact he's pushing himself. I think, you know, the first two albums are quite safe, you know, kind of Liam, well, Oasis kind of anthemic by numbers. I thought, come on, you know, kind of tweaks the format a little bit, and there was lots of different ideas on that. And I'm now, yeah, I'm very pleased that he's kind of, yeah, kicking things on with John Squire. I mean, I've long said he needs to collaborate. Well, we know he collaborates, but I've long said he might need to collaborate with certain type of musicians we know. I mean, as you know, I've always pushed the band, pushed the case for Josh Homme to contribute to that. John Squire, you know, is a legend, obviously. I think it'd be quite interesting because, you know, John Squire hasn't written any tunes for a while. I mean, we don't know how All for One and Beautiful Thing, the two Stone Roses songs back in 2016, what the kind of balance was with that. But we were, I think they're band written songs. That aside, he had his solo album in what 2002, Time Changes Everything. I don't know much he put his hand to in terms of songwriting. Liam's been very effervescent with his praise about songwriters. I think he said in the press release, you know, he's one of the best songwriters out there and we just need more of his stuff out there. So that'll be good. I'm fascinated to see how the dynamic's going to be. But yeah, roll on 2024. I think, I think it's just very, very exciting. From an Oasis point of view, I think it's fascinating that it's been, you know, Noel's worked with Ian Brown, and now Liam's doing his regular collaboration with John Squire. I mean, obviously they obviously had Love Me and Leave Me as well. I find that quite fascinating, but kind of from a kind of like front man guitarist kind of dynamic. But yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. Let's see what they've got. I'm very, very buzzing for it.
Yeah, I mean, I was, because so Squire did, obviously, we got the Seahorses as well, like you said, Love Me and Leave Me, which was a Liam and John collaboration, which is pretty cheesy, really, the lyrics, you know, I believe in brothers, I know you know who you are, and that sort of stuff. And then John did so he did the Time Changes Everything album in 2002. And to be honest, I listened to it a couple of times when it came out, and I was just like, oh, I'm just not good. And there was hardly any electric guitar on it, as far as I remember. It was all very acoustic-y. And I remember the big song was like Joe Louis. It's like, Joe Louis, how does it feel to be? And it was like, are you being Bob Dylan? Like, what is this? And so, you know, so I'll drop a clip in here, which is probably the first time I will have heard it in, you know, 20 years. And he did a second album in 2004 called Marshall's House, which I don't think I ever even listened to. I know the ratings weren't very good.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. That kind of came away without a trace. I think I listened to it, but
yeah,
it's kind of, I think I maybe have the CD and listened to it a couple of times. Similar to you with Time Changes Everything, I was a bit like, yeah, not sure about this. And yeah, as I say, it kind of came away, didn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. And it got like one star reviews and things like that. And it's just, yeah, to me, it wasn't great. So it was just like, you know, yeah. So anyway, but we know what he can do is he's an amazing guitar player. So, I mean, it is going to be Squire songs by the sounds of it, because Liam's little video, he says, you know, John Squire contacted me. He was writing songs again and wanted me to get involved. So, I mean, I think it's interesting because obviously, like, in terms of their standing in the industry, John Squire is a legend and the Stone Roses are legendary, but John Squire is significantly lower down than Liam now in the overall grand scheme of things. So I think you made the comment, I think probably just on text, like, you know, it's interesting it is a collaboration because, and Liam, it's quite good of Liam to put it as double bill, you know, Liam Gallagher, John Squire, because really, you know, Liam Gallagher is a significantly bigger star than John Squire now. So it could have been, you know, John Squire is playing guitar on the new Liam album, and that would have been fine. But actually, no, he wants it to be a double header. And it sounds like it's John Squire's songs, you know, which is cool, I think. And you know, going back to what you were saying, I know you'd sort of put the case for Josh Homme. I mean, over the years, I've put the case for the real people, Ashcroft. Like, yeah, we've really enjoyed a lot of Liam's stuff. But you just think these guys he's working with, you know, they're Americans. Do they really understand, like, the, you know, the Britpop sound or the Manchester sound, and wouldn't he be better off working with Ashcroft, Squire, real people, like these people that kind of get Liam and get the Oasis sound and can probably, you know, not necessarily ape that sound, but just have the attitude, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's an interesting one, definitely.
I think there's very few, I think, that Liam would kind of pay deference to, but John Squire's in that bracket, isn't he? You've got, you know, I think Liam would be like the Beatles, the Stone Roses, the Pistols, maybe the Stones. Those are probably his kind of top tier ones. I think that's a real kind of respect. You know, Liam makes no apologies or doesn't hide behind his light under a bush in terms of how much he loves the Roses. You know, they were his most important band. So I guess there's that kind of mutual respect, like a massive admiration and respect. And probably thought, well, actually, no, this is, you know, one of the greatest guitarists of all time. But yeah, it's interesting, although funny, like the initial sessions were in Macclesfield, and then the recording took place in LA. They've kind of got a bit of that best of both worlds. I mean, it's produced by Greg Kirsten, isn't it? Is he producing it? It has been announced. So he's on bass. You've got Jerry Wawronka, Wawronka on drums, who also played with REM and Beck and Atoms for Peace, the Tom York Flea project. And apparently they shared reference points, including Hendrix, the Pistols, the Faces, Bob Marley and the Bee Gees. That's the full blurb.
Yeah.
Apart from their statements as well.
Yeah. So, and I grabbed a screenshot. So before that had been officially announced, like, the on the Instagram, because the front cover is very interesting as well, which I assume is a John Squire produced front cover, because you know he does the art for all his stuff, and it's like a spray can and it's spinning around, and so I managed to get a screenshot of it like as it goes on to that, you know, the lineup part. And yeah, and it confirmed their Kirsten produced bass and keyboard, so we know it's going to be brilliantly produced. You know, it's going to be probably quite poppy produced, because we know Greg Kirsten is like, he's like the big guns you bring in, you know, when it's like time for the comeback single, everything's electric, Wall of Glass, that's where Liam goes and grabs Greg Kirsten to come in. He probably has to pay him a fair whack, because he's, you know, he's the guy, he's probably the biggest producer in the world, and so he gets Kirsten in to do it when he needs the bump. And yeah, and then so that's what he's been brought in. And then yeah, as you say, Joey Waronker, absolutely brilliant drummer. You know, if you look at, I mean, for me, Beck, because that lineup of 90s Beck, that Justin Meddle Johnson on bass and Joey Waronker on drums, it's like that, he is the guy. And he's played with McCartney, you know, he's done a lot of work with Nigel Godrich, so you know, he's tended to play on all the stuff that Nigel Godrich produced. Yeah, and mate, what a great drummer to have, you know, like probably top session drummer. And Mark Spike Stent is mixing. So, you know, you've got the main guy there who's one of the best mixers in the world, and also Mick's obviously produced Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. So he knows Oasis. He knows the sound. And so far, you know, we've got a 10-second little riff clip. And it, to me, as I said, it sounds like Second Coming era Stone Roses, which is what I want. You know, I'd love to hear Liam singing over Second Coming era Stone Roses. For me, would just be, you know, perfect.
That's what John Robb said, isn't it? It's like Second Coming, but with Liam very loud over the top of it. It's like, brilliant. Where do I sign?
Thank you very much. Yes, I'll pay 15 quid for a piece of vinyl I'm never going to listen to. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And what do you think of the cover with the artwork with the crown?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the title.
Rainbow. what was John Squire said? The song's about disappointment. So you can kind of tie that in with Just a Rainbow, the other side of the rainbow, kind of themes thematically. I mean, what can you get from a title? Who knows? You know, I'm a fan of rainbows. I like chasing them. You know, as the Shed said, so I like being somewhere over them. You know, so I'm into it. And as a kind of metaphor, it's a beautiful, you know, a beautiful kind of idea, and obviously it's weather related, you know, the Mancunians, it's got to be tied to that. Yeah, the cover's great, the cover's really cool as well. That'll be interesting to see if it's kind of part of, if the album, because let's assume there's going to be an album, it'll be interesting to see that kind of makes, you know, kind of thematically goes with whatever the textiles of the album or texture of the album is going to be. My real thing is now is, well, Liam's going to be a very busy boy next year, because we've obviously got the Definitely Maybe shows in June and festival shows, which are Definitely Maybe shows as well. What's he doing prior to that? Do you know what I mean? Are there going to be shows? You know, I think on the Matt Morgan podcast, Noel's Ted, someone put it to him that I think it might have been Matt Morgan actually put it to Noel. He was like, do you think he'll go on tour and John Squire will do his thing on Oasis tunes? And Noel was like, well, I might have something to say about that. Which we've got funny, but then Liam's got enough now to not necessarily have to do that anyway. You could just bring in John to the Liam solo stuff, it'd be fine. But if, you know, we don't know how much John Squire likes touring, we don't know how much he likes being in the public eye. That'd be quite interesting. But yeah, from June onwards, Liam's busy anyway, so this is quite a small window. Maybe they'll do some special shows. I don't see how it's going to work out, but I mean, very, very intrigued to see it. Liam's going all out for 2024, so. Yeah, it's gonna be a big year for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So here's the full Liam. Here's the full John Squire quote. Yeah, like you said about disappointment. Yeah. So the press release says there's instantly unforgettable psychedelia tinged guitar, met with passion, personality, and utmost conviction from Gallagher's vocal. And Squire says, to me, the most obvious take on Just Another Rainbow is that it's about disappointment, and the sentiment is that you never get what you really want. But I don't like to explain songs. I think that's the privilege of the listener. It's whatever you want it to be. To me, it's also one of the most uplifting tracks we've made together, which is weird. So they have obviously done more stuff. I mean, they haven't officially announced an album, but it's been mentioned by, you know, both of them that, you know, this is the first step of what should be an album. But then we were supposed to get another Stone Roses album, weren't we? And look at what happened there. So let's hope they keep it going.
To be fair, they never committed to a third album, did they?
Didn't they? Okay. I can't remember now. I know there was the two singles. I thought they recorded one, didn't they? But or did they just try and do a few sessions?
Well, there's a few kind of gossipy things that go about it. It's effectively because there's a drum track on Beautiful Thing. They have issues with Rennie, so they say, but nothing's ever kind of confirmed. But I think they were like, yeah, we're hoping to do a third album, but nothing ever kind of happened. But you're right. I think it's with these ones. There's been, you know, we've seen, they've confirmed it. There's been sessions in LA. We've seen John Squire over with Greg Kirsten. Was it maybe Andrew White? I think Kirsten actually in watching a basketball match. Liam's admitted, you know, said. So I think someone said it all on Twitter a while ago. You've been quiet. It's like I've been recording an album. You know, so we know it's happening. Mm. We know it's happening. I guess I suppose they don't want to dilute the excitement of the single by announcing the album at the same time. You know, stagger the announcements.
Mm. Yeah, no, it'd be good though, yeah, to get that. So if we get the single and then we probably get the album in what, like February, March, and then maybe a few shows in March, April, and then he's off doing the DM30 tour. Crazy. Mm.
Yes, I mean, and as he's, you know, he's done for the summer. Like, I don't see there being much room for manoeuvre. So maybe something with the Teenage Cancer Trust, although I'm pretty sure Noel's going to be doing something with the Teenage Cancer Trust as well.
Yeah.
They can do separate nights. I'm sure that's not an issue. They both have affiliations with the charity. But yeah, maybe February, maybe for an album release. That might be a bit soon. I would think maybe up March, April. But yeah, let's see. Hopefully we'll find out more after the single. That'll get a couple of weeks, and hopefully we should find out more kind of end of January.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Cool. Well, look, you know, we were sort of coming on today really to talk about like a look back at the year, both in the world of Oasis and the Gallaghers, and then also other stuff that we've liked in the music world. And then this is like we've had in previous years where we'll just get something dropped right by the end of the year, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, that's balls up my end of year list or my end of year planning. Thanks very much for that. But yeah, it's been a funny year with the Oasis guys. Obviously, the big thing has been Noel's album. You know, that was the big one. We didn't get a Liam album this year, but we got a Noel album, which was great. You know, good return to form. You know, a few gigs from Liam this year, not a huge amount beyond that, and nothing in terms of new music. And Andy Bell's been really busy, as he has been for the last few years. So our Mantra of the Cosmos as well, you know, with Andy, you've got the Glock stuff, you've got Mantra of the Cosmos, a couple of tracks from them. So yeah, the main thing, yeah, being obviously Noel's album. But yeah, what's your year in review of the Oasis stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very, very Noel heavy year. And obviously, you know, you forget Liam did have an album out, an Epith album, number one, that's, you know, a title that Noel failed to get, sadly, despite his very best efforts. Yeah, I mean, Council Skies, I think now with the 6 months grace, I think it's probably my favourite of his solo albums. I think it's very... I think it's incredible. I think his live shows, you know, I saw him, I haven't seen this arena tour because of life, but I saw him twice in the summer. And from what I hear about the arena tour, from what the videos I see, you know, the High Flying Birds are bang on it. Liam, obviously, I saw at Coco, but then he's done a few other shows, but he had a relatively low profile year. But now we know what's going on, or what's been going on for Liam in 2023. Andy, yeah, I mean, that's I saw him for Glock. I think there's a new Ride album. I think that's pretty much in the can. He's been doing some DJ sets, he's been kind of everywhere, you know, a Mantra of the Cosmos, as you say, about which we know there's stuff coming, or there isn't an album yet, but they want to record an album. When I interviewed Sean White a while ago, he's like, we want to do an album. It's just a case of getting the time to do it, because he's got Black Grape and Happy Monday stuff going on.
Wait, you just dropped something there, mate. I interviewed Sean Ryder. Sorry, yeah, yeah. I didn't want to let that fly by. Wait. Okay, sorry, you picked that up. Carry on. Go on.
Yeah, carry on. You've picked it. You've thoroughly got that name. Have you just?
I did. I got it. When you interview Sean Ryder. Okay. Yeah.
You might have heard him. He was in Happy Mondays.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, I know. Yeah, when you interviewed Sean Ryder. And that was just after you met Andy Bell at the Glock show as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Shortly after, yeah, shortly
yeah,
after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, don't worry, carry on.
What a wanker. yes, and we know that, speaking about next year, then we know that Noel's going to be on a tune with Mantra of the Cosmos as well. So, you know, kind of a bit quasi, well, you know, I don't want to say this. Obviously, he joins the supergroup, and obviously Andy's in that supergroup. So from an Oasis perspective, that's always quite exciting. And obviously Zach. So yeah, it's been a lot of, but it has kind of been the Noel year, I would say. But yeah, with much kind of going on, seems that Noel for next year is going to be, I think he said he's going to be recording for the first half of the year, and then he's got summer shows, and then see what happens. So I imagine that'll be, well, I think he was talking about his acoustic album, which he's determined he was going to finish about 3-4 months ago. And now I think that's kind of getting dulled down a little bit. And he's just going to go in and do another album. So we'll see what happens there. That'll probably be 2025, 26, maybe. But yeah, I think it's been a good year from, I mean, what have we had from an Oasis perspective, like in terms of the actual Oasis stuff? There hasn't been a huge amount of Oasis things going on, has there? Yeah, it's maybe been the post-Oasis things this year. Is that right?
Masterplan 25, that was probably the biggest Oasis thing.
I suppose we can count that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a damp squib, or damp squid, as people like to say. I thought it was, nice to have it out again and stuff, but, you know, just product for product's sake, really. It was a bit disappointing. If they'd put some more stuff around that, that would have been better, I think. But, it was what it was. It didn't hit number one. I don't think it got to, like, number two or three. Taylor Swift kept it off, I think, which is fair enough. So yeah, I think that was it. You know, it's just been the typical stuff, lyric videos, and they put out some like Masterplan merch, which was fine. But yeah, nothing else really exciting in that world. Like you said, Liam's Nebworth album did make number one, which I listened to a couple of times when it came out, and then I haven't listened to again because, you know, I don't really need to. Why would I bother, really? It's just not for me. But yeah, so it's been good fun. But yeah, what a great announcement for the end of the year to come through.
Funny you have it's been bookended, hasn't it? Because Noel announced Council Skies like the second week of January, I think it was, with the release of Easy Now. And now we've got Liam announcing this. It's quite a nice, what with the band's, I don't want to say resurgence, but ongoing popularity, the prolificity of the members, specifically Noel, Liam and Andy, you know, the Oasis train just keeps on rolling. There's no such thing as a quiet year anymore. As I've said many times before, it's one of the reasons I don't want the band to get back together, because it's like there's always something in the offing. You know what I mean? From the Oasis, there's always something good to look forward to and something to get your teeth into. But I think the first half of the year was very much defined by Noel, by Council Skies and the promo campaign he did for it, the lengthy promo campaign he did for it. I think the only block would be Noel not getting number one. I think that was quite a shame. But he was up against Foo Fighters, which I think was probably a power move by Dave Grohl, because Dave Grohl's team, Liam. and I think Noel was very much like, well, I'm not backing down. I think for me, Easy Now, probably the song of the year. Of the Oasis related stuff. I mean, in terms of new material, there wasn't a huge amount, but that quite easily takes it, I think, probably then think of a number. It's been, aside from what's going on in his personal life, it's been nice to see Noel kind of back at it and really hitting the tunes hard. I mean, although the arena show's apparently been great, I'm kind of not bothered about the fact I didn't go, because the set list didn't change at all from the summer shows. And it was a bit like, I don't know that I need to see it three times. Plus, I'm not sure I could have made it anyway. That's something you would like, maybe a bit freshening up of the set. But he says he'll do that next year. But by the same token, you know, when I saw him in Taunton after a few weeks off seeing Crystal Palace, like, well, it's as good. Do you know what I mean? It's the set is as good. And, you know, Noel's argument of he doesn't want different people to get different things. He wants consistency.
Bullshit. You're just lazy and can't be bothered to mix it up and do work with the band.
Well, yeah, he did say he was going to change the set for the UK arena shows, and then he didn't. So, you know, best not to trust Noel too much, I find.
And I saw someone posted a Suede, like a Suede breakdown of their recent tour. It was only like a handful of shows, but they play 47 different songs. Like, it was amazing. Like, you know, you've got this, they did it, some nerd who put it in like a nice kind of spreadsheet format, which I found very appealing, being a nerd myself. And 47 different songs over like an eight song tour. I think over an 8-gig tour. Brilliant. You know, I'd love that, but it would be great. You know, I don't see why he couldn't do a different, even if like you didn't want to work them through with the band, because, you know, you'd have to, obviously when Noel does, it's not like Suede, they were the band, you know, obviously a few members have changed over the years, but, you know, they are the band and they can just go, oh, remember this one, and then they will remember it. Whereas with that, he would have to go out there and tell, you know, Jess, what we're going to do if we're going to do, I don't know, like Magic Pie. Okay, this is what you'd need to do here. And yeah, you'd have to kind of break it all down within the band.
Very good example there, JC.
It is. It would be very a good example there. I mean, Mikey Rowe plays on that, so Mike would know. Mike would know. But yeah, you know what I mean, though? It's sort of, you can't just go, oh, this one, guys. so it would be more work. But still, like, yeah, that's why I haven't gone this year. Like, I'm just like, I don't need to see it. You know, I'm sure it would be a good night. And if a bunch of people said, oh, yeah, come on, we'll all go and it will tie in with the night, great. But, you know, like, all of the hassle and stuff to get there, I'd just be like, you know what, I'm actually like quite busy, and you know, to see the same set list again, I'm just really not.
Did you not see him at all this year?
No, I didn't see him at all this year. I didn't get to any of the summer stuff. There was I almost went to a couple of them, but then I didn't end up going. It just didn't work out. Mate, I had to go see Beyonce and Blur.
That's
where my affinities lie.
And who is it the other night? Hosier, was it?
Hosier, yeah. Actually, you know what? So I enjoyed that. You know, it's sort of, it's Hosier. So it's the Hosier. And then he's not necessarily one of my favourites, but being a plastic paddy, I'm like, I have to support Irish artists, obviously. And so it's part of the deal. And it was really impressive. Like, I was really impressed by him. And just not having followed his work, I didn't realise, like, he's like a proper guitarist. Like, a lot of his work is built around the fact he's like a really good guitar player. He's got a really interesting kind of picking style, and like he'll bridge. He does a lot of like bar bridging and then picking around arpeggios on. And so I was like a proper nerd. All the like, you know, teenage girls and women in their, women in their 30s and 40s, which tends to be his core audience. Apparently a lot of lesbians like Hosier, apparently. And so I'm sat there like, I'm going, oh, well, I appreciate the guitar work, whereas everyone else is like singing their hearts out. But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And he has got some very good songs. And there's some of them that go very kind of Coldplay, Ed Sheeran. And at that point, I was just like, oh, Jesus, skip. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm watching him live. I can't skip, you know, but some of them, very impressive. But yeah, but that was good. But the main reason I wanted to go, and this would probably be a nice segue here, is that the Last Dinner Party was supporting. And they're probably like one of my most sort of exciting new bands of the year, very much anticipating their album next year. And I thought, oh, great, I'll get to see them. That'd be good. And then bloody, it was at what was the NEC. It's now called like Resort World or something. And like you park the car like miles away, and then you have to like walk like ages to get to the venue, and then you get to the venue and it's just like, God. So yeah, we completely missed the Last Dinner Party, which I was pretty gutted about. So that is a nice segue. So what else has rocked your world musically this year?
You can't look beyond Young Fathers, I don't think, in terms of, I mean, everything, album, singles live. I mean, I was lucky enough to see them live twice, and yeah, just phenomenal. I mean, they're un-genre-fiable, so quite hard to really explain it. But like, as the kind of power they carry on the live stage is just phenomenal. Love the album Heavy. I think it's, yeah, probably the album of the year. So if anyone gets a chance to see them next year, are they touring next year? I think they must. Maybe they're in America next year. But if anyone hasn't seen them, gets a chance to see them, highly recommend. Yes, Last Dinner Party. Very excited for them next year. I was also supposed to see them, but they were playing at the Fleece in Bristol, and they cancelled because of illness. And I think that's probably the last chance. Although, well, they've rescheduled it, but I think that'll be the last chance to see them in such a small venue. I think they're going to be. Yeah, there's a lot of expectation for them next year. What else did I mention to you? I think from albums, I think the Lowell Tolhurst Budgie Jackknife Lee album is probably one of my contenders for album of the year. I think for anyone who doesn't know, Lowell Tolhurst used to be the drummer for The Cure, Budgie used to be the drummer for Susie and the Banshees, and and Jackknife Lee is a producer. They've done a obviously very percussion heavy album, but it's like they've done an album called Los Angeles, and they brought in a lot of their mates like Bobby Gillespie and James Murphy, and they brought in The Edge, and they brought in a guy from Idols, Mark Bowen, and a few other people. And it's just like every song, the artists write the lyrics. So the Primal Scream song, song that Bobby Gillespie's on, they kind of already sound like Primal Scream songs. And then you add his lyrics to it, and it's like Exterminator, Primal Scream stuff. And then you've got the title track of the album, Los Angeles, sounds like an LCD sound system song. It's great. I mean, if anyone hasn't heard it, check it out. It's probably my joint album of the year with Young Fathers. That would be that. And then you've got other like The Hives, Queens of Stone Age, Gaz Coombs, obviously Blur, which I think we'll talk about. All had brilliant albums. The Coral had a brace of really good albums as well. It's been such a great year for kind of new music. I don't think it's been a new Matt. I mean, last Dinner Party. I'm more likely to own next year, but I think there's been a couple of new bands, but it's been a better year for the kind of more established acts than new stuff, I would say.
I agree. And we're in this very kind of female heavy world where, you know, I've sort of been going through the sort of top 50 NME or top 30 independent and top 30 Pitchfork and all that sort of thing, just flicking through. It's like, Christ, where's the men? Where's the men? It's like, oh, there's a rapper. Okay. Any male fronted bands here, please? You know, it would be nice to have one. A bit of diversity would be good. You know, actually some men. It's very female front, you know, very female heavy now in music generally and in rock and roll. You know, you've got like, what's the Phoebe Bridgers supergroup called? The three of them. Boy Genius. Yeah. So they were massive this year. And you've got like, Caroline Polachek and Mitski and all these people that are like, you know, this is the album of the year. I'm like, oh, it would be nice to have some men in there because generally, you know, I prefer like male fronted bands. That tends to be my favorites, you know. I don't want to get cancelled for saying that, but that tends to be what I prefer. But so there hasn't been that many, but I mean, just going through, yeah, Blur definitely. So my top five Spotify Wrapped, I know you're not a Spotify person, but it was basically the four Noel singles. But, you know, because as each of them came out, that's all the Noel stuff that I had to listen to. And then we review them. So I listened to them over and over again. So it was like, and it was literally in the order they came out as well. I think Dead to the World was, yeah. So it's like Easy Now, Dead to the World. That, you know, that was it. And then The Narcissist, you know, the Blur comeback single, which is understandable because that was very exciting when that came out. But yeah, the Blur album, I think, is probably my album of the year. I just think it took me back actually, because I mean, The Narcissist was very chill, but then St. Charles Square was quite sort of that sort of wiry, you know, sort of David Bowie kind of off kilter, like angular David Bowie sounds. And I thought, oh, okay, that's where we're going. And then the album was just really quiet and calm, and you know, it had some, you know, aggressive moments, but yeah, and we talked about it on the episode, but I was really blown away by it, and I've gone back and back to it a number of times over the year. So that was a really big one for me. Cause there's something down here and it's living under the floorboards. The Clockworks album finally coming out. You know, I do tend to follow bands that have, you know, that I've done bits with in the past. And yeah, The Clockworks was great to have them finally get an album after 3 or 4 years of waiting. And it didn't disappoint. You know, it was very, you know, it was funny because you've got kind of a lot of the, you know, the more aggressive stuff that was in their singles and their live show, whereas the album had a little quiet moments, actually, which was really showed off his voice. Was really impressive. You know, I was like, oh, that's not really what I expected from them, to actually have him like singing nicely and not just like shouting. But yeah, so that was impressive. And then Green Chatton had his solo album out from what's his name, Fontaines DC, which was a lot more kind of, you know, a bit more laid back and slightly less sort of doom laden as Fontaines DC stuff. I know you flagged that with me. Which I really liked. I enjoyed that a lot. Once again, supporting the Irish bands. And talking of Irish bands, probably my most, you know, favorite band that I discovered this year. My brother's been banging on at me because my brother loves Irish music. The Mary Wallopers, Richard. Are you aware of the Mary Wallopers?
I'm aware of them. Yes, that's probably the extent. I'm just not in, I mean, not particularly into folk anyway, but yeah.
Mary Wallopers are brilliant, both live and on record. I was a bit like, what the hell is this at first? And then you listen, you just go, you know, it's obviously I've been listening to a lot of the Pogues as well with having lost Shane. And it's like, there is a direct line here between the Pogues and the Mary Wallopers. And they are great. They're brilliant. They're so exuberant and fun, full of energy and funny and silly. And they capture the Irish experience. There's a great song that's like, building England up and tearing it down, which is all about that experience of Irish people coming and working in England, you know, similar to Christy Moore's Don't Forget Your Shovel If You Want to Go to Work, which is a classic from my childhood. But yeah, I've been often on the road, on my way to draw the dole, when there's nothing left to do for Johnny Lang. And I used to think that God made the mixer pick and hot, so that paddies might know hell above the ground. I've had gangers big and tough tell me tear it all out rough, when you're building up and tearing England down. So yeah, you wouldn't understand it, Richard, as an Englishman, but as a pure Irish soul, it speaks to me.
I was thinking, you know, I see their name and this would be my Glaswegian wife, and hopefully a lot of Glaswegians will relate to this. I just see Walloper.
Yeah.
And rather than Mary Walloper, Walloper. And Walloper means a whole different thing. Use your imagination. I'm sure you can work out what it means. And that kind of taints my thing. It might taint my perception of it a little bit as well. But yes, they have been. I mean, similarly, Lancome have been very highly rated. Yeah, I don't know if they're a big kind of folk band as well. They've topped a lot of end of the year lists, but it's not really my cup of tea, to be honest. One band I was going to mention, actually, and they'll be, in terms of new bands, actually, completely contradicts myself. English Teacher, who are Leeds band, female fronted, but they've got their one of their tracks called "The World's Biggest Paving Slab," which was probably in my top 10 Apple Music replay thing. They should be big in 2024, as it were. I think they should have an album due out as well. So they're one to watch. I think 2024 there's so much going on next year. I'm really looking forward to like new albums and gigs and all of this.
I really like that Paving Slab song, and I did listen to their other stuff and it didn't grab me as much. I found them a bit too clever, but the Paving Slab song makes me think, okay, you know, there is a lot of opportunity there. Maybe they felt a bit hipstery, but I think if they can pull that back and give us some good tunes, it'll be great. Oh, one more band that came back this year that we didn't mention there, the Beatles released a song.
Oh yeah.
I know we talked about it previously. I know we talked about it previously, but it has grown on me, to be fair. I mean, the video still pisses me off. Like, the video is so bad, just doesn't fit at all.
It's
terrible, you know, it's so bad. And it's like, it's this sad song, and yet you've then got like this sort of John Lennon from 1967, like, dancing in the background. It's like, it doesn't make any sense, you know? And let me let the dog in. You talk about the Beatles.
Well, to be fair, Peter Jackson's thing was, I think he wanted to kind of represent the silliness of the band as well. So he kind of like had wanted them have to be quite kind of jaunting in the background and being a little bit daft. I think he felt that captured the essence of the true Beatles, like happy and sad. But yeah, I'm a little bit like you. I just don't. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the video.
No, pretty dreadful.
And the Stones, of course.
Yeah, we didn't mention the Stones. I did give that album a listen. I was really impressed because I didn't even bother because I've not really listened to a Stones album since, I don't know, like the Hot Rocks Best Of that I got when I was 16. But I was like really impressed. I heard that McCartney track and it was really impressive.
So good. Yeah, so good. And I think the guy they've worked with, his name escapes me now, but he's worked with like Iggy Pop and Ozzy Osbourne. He's kind of, his thing is, are you ready to be yourselves now, or something like that? Some arrogant little comment, but it's like, but it's got like a verb and vitality to it, and yeah, it's so good. As I've said many times now, it has no right to be as good as it is. Like, and it's their best album in 40 years, I would have said. Now, granted, from a band that's been going for 60 years, that's not a huge compliment, but it's better than any of their stuff since. Yeah, I would say Tattoo You. I think it's outrageous. And again, surely they'll be touring next year. I will definitely be doing my utmost to go and see them, absolutely, because outrageous. Although, again, as I mentioned before, I do like the fact the Beatles stole their thunder again.
So it's been another busy year for you personally as well. You've still been writing plenty for your various publications that you work for. Lots of gigs, lots of reviews. How many publications are you currently scribing for?
It's two now. Well, it was three, but it was Live Forever, Gigwise and Clash. But Gigwise seems to have folded. Live Forever and Clash now. But yeah, it's been a good year on that front, actually. Like, working for Clash, who I interviewed. So I mentioned Sean Ryder, although that was for Live Forever. Every now and again, they pull one out of the bag, which is great. They can get a really good one. I can say this now. The thing about that, right, I was supposed to interview him on the Tuesday. It'd been ongoing for ages. And then it finally happens, like, can you interview him tomorrow? I was like, yeah, I can do it. Got myself all ready. Then at 2 o'clock, the time to interview his PA or his PR woman. And he goes, hi, yeah, it's Sean. He's not able to make it today. He's running late. And I was like, oh, yeah. Classic Sean Ryder. What's he up to? What's he been doing? Yeah, he's on the school run. Okay. Well, we can reschedule it for a couple of days' time. Sean Ryder, The Coral, Alabama 3, Lauren Laverne, Stuart McConey, Steve Lamacq, some of the new bands like Divorce, The Goer Express. That's a good album, actually, The Goer Express. That album came out at the beginning of December. That's one I'd recommend. I think it's very, very, I don't want to say Brit poppy, but kind of late 90s, early 2000s kind of British rock music. Who else were we interviewed? I forget who else we interviewed now. But yeah, it's been a good year on that front. And yeah, gigs have been great. The two Noel gigs were incredible. Both Blur gigs, like the Wembley and the Hammersmith Apollo, were good. Similarly, Pulp at the Hammersmith Apollo in Finsbury Park were brilliant. Saw the Prodigy at Cardiff Arena last week. They were incredible. Arctic Monkeys twice. They were both great at the Ashton Gate and Glastonbury. As I mentioned, Young Fathers. Who else have I seen? Oh, Andy Bell. Oh, well, Glock back in October. Newer bands I saw, English Teacher, mentioned them again back in October, September at the Louisiana in Bristol. They were superb. Yard Act at Dot to Dot. Idol supported Jamie T at Finsbury Park. Both superb. I went to. I'm very aware that it sounds like just me showing off, but I'm just going to keep talking. Liam at Coco. far too many gigs. It's been a very, very
gigs.
Lot of gigs, a lot of great gigs, and not many duffers, to be honest. Everyone's been on great form.
But you didn't get to see Beyonce though, so I win.
That's true. Or Hozier.
One thing I just want to say, actually, I did a tweet the other day. What's your Oasis / Gallagher predictions for 2024? So give us your actual prediction. Where can you see it? And we can always go back at the end of the year. So by the end of this year, no, by the end of next year, Richard, what are we going to be looking back on as having been the highlights of 2024?
Firstly, the Liam Deafening Baby shows. That's obviously kind of the big thing. I think they'll be pretty nostalgic. I'm most looking forward to the Liam John Squire album, I think, of the Liam things we know that's going on. I think that'd be great. Noel will probably just be summer shows. We might get some music from Noel, but I wouldn't have thought so. The Ride album, I imagine Andy will do a lot more. I think the Liam John Squire will probably be the big thing next year, to be honest, regardless of when it comes out. But yeah, I think the Definitely Maybe shows will certainly be something, things to remember for people. But yeah, that's out. I don't see much happening in the Oasis world. I thought at various points in the year that a reunion was more likely than ever. I'm now kind of rolling back on that again a little bit. I think maybe this feeder's gone out, but I think they're both really busy. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they'll squeeze it in after Noel's finished up with this album, but we should take it to probably 2025. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't see anything really moving on that front next year, to be honest.
No, I can't see it happening now, especially now with, well, I never thought it would anyway. I mean, when all the chat was there in the summer, you know, or earlier this year, it was primarily because Noel had an album to promote. And so if he's going out and doing a bunch of interviews, people are going to ask him the question, and whatever he says, you know, if he doesn't say, no, I 100% guarantee it's not going to happen. If he says something in between, obviously he was saying that he was doing that, oh, call me thing, you know, then it's obviously then going to wind people up. And although I hate talking about it, I did end up doing, I did an episode on it with Hargreaves maybe. And I think maybe for his channel, but anyway, I've done, we've covered it, but I don't think it will. But let's see. I agree. I don't think there's going to be any major surprises. But then again, if we were doing this chat a week ago, would we have said that there's going to be a Liam Gallagher, John Squire album out next year? We might have said it's, oh, well, there's rumoured, but that probably won't happen. So you never know. You never know what this, something might get thrown up in the space of a year.
So I was going to say, the reason I say that I thought Noel might be enough to it, because Noel really tried hard for Council Skies to get number one, and Liam got to number one with them both without even batting an eyelid. I think Noel's kind of general competitive nature might have been a little bit like, the scales have tipped, that's the word. And, you know, comprehensively now, I think maybe Noel might get a bit of an appetite back for it. But, I mean, you know, he said, you know, I think the problem would be going playing the shows with Liam, wouldn't it? I think that would be the issue. So yeah, I'm kind of less concerned. I wanted it more this year, because on a few occasions this year when I've been drunk after gigs and going back to people's houses and watching like old stuff, I miss Noel, the lead guitarist. That's what I really miss. I miss Noel's kind of just going off on the lead on the electric. Because, you know, Gem does great with the High Flying Birds, but it's quite contained. I think I'd like to see kind of Noel kind of, yeah, I really, really missed that, actually. I've forgotten how much I missed that until I watched some kind of old Oasis material, like from the early part of the 21st century. Just to roll back, I think actually, I contradict everything. I think my highlight of the year was that Noel video where I go on, I fucking dare you to call me. I think that was probably my highlight of the year.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? And then also he did the, talking of Noel guitar playing, he did that really good video with the guitar guys. I can't remember what it was, the pedal show. And that was really good. That was really good. I know he's done a lot of like Matt Morgan stuff this year. There's been some good stuff. To be honest, I've dropped off on the last few. I just found it a bit boring. It felt like, you know, I know Matt Morgan's had some, like he's had a tough year. Like he's talked about his own mental health and things like that. And to me, it felt like some of their chats, you know, I just have it on the background and I'm just like zoning out because, you know, do I need to hear them talk about aliens again? Do I need to hear them talk about like, you know, wokeness again? You know, I'm just not, it just felt like, oh, please come back on, you know, because I need it for the views, you know, I need it to keep my patrons from quitting. And it felt a bit like, oh, okay, you know, but it's still, you'd get the odd nugget here and there, but
the quota of nugget to waffle was just too low for me this year.
It does get a bit repetitive. The last one was really good. But I think the thing is with it, you don't want, and this is no one's fault apart from Knowles, like if Knowles hung over, you're not going to get much and it's just going to be a bit meh. Whereas I think if Knowles up for it, I'd say, which he was in the last one, it was quite informative and Knowles seemed in, like I say, Knowles seemed in relatively good spirits. But yeah, I still like listening. I mean, I'm obsessive, so I still quite like listening to them. Yeah, it's nice to see him back doing them. Yeah, I know what you mean. They probably don't need to be. I don't need to hear them talk about religion or aliens again. Put it that way.
God, it's tiresome.
Louise Hainsworth.
Well, presumably, if he makes an album with Arcade, he'll go on the road and then obviously they'll be doing lots of Oasis songs. So, I mean, he'll have to simplify his playing somewhat.
Yeah, or just do new solos that he's just like, fuck it, I'm just going to let loose.
I wouldn't be too pleased about that.
What if he'd like change the solos?
I wouldn't. I might have something to say about that.
Yeah, that's when you could find him with
Squire, you bastard.
Improvising around the fucking solos, aren't you, you bastard?
You're playing your moody blues over my Brit pop rock. What the hell do you think you are?
You can't polish a turd, Squire. We both know that.
Let's have a look. So these are the this is what the people said were their predictions for the year. So, and I said serious or funny or both. Dan Harrison, this was probably my favourite. Liam releases another live album along with a film, The Making of Nebworth 22, which is nice. Noel changes up the set list by giving Magic Pie its live debut. There we go. That's probably why I was thinking of Magic Pie earlier. Dennis Zylstra, Liam will do an album with Bonehead called Colombian Rules. Insiders describe the sound as jazz metal. Noel will do a tour doing stand-up comedy. I'd be happy with both of those.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Kerry Patino says rock and roll star Liam G, twice married with children, travels to Colombia, looks up in the sky and sees supersonic Noel downing cigarettes and alcohol whilst eating Dixie's dinner at pub Shaker Maker. Noel tells Liam to bring it on down and join him. They slide away with memories and live forever.
Well, that was well put together.
Well done, Kerry. Sam Shiner, haven't heard from Sam for a while. I need to get her back on, actually. She does good, big numbers. And she's got a lot of great things to say. Noel's going to come along for the DM reunion date, and it's actually going to be a huge Oasis reunion. I know he won't really, but let's manifest. So, yeah, I mean, like we were saying there, and a lot of people said, you know, oh, that's it. You know, Liam will be playing and Noel will be there aside of the stage and he'll walk on and it'll be magic. Guys, it is not going to happen. Like, that is never going to happen. It's, people have seen, you know, that famous moment in Spinal Tap, you know, when David St. Huggins is left and then the remaining band are playing by themselves, and then he's there at the side of the stage, he just nods him to come on, and then they, oh yeah, the band's back together. That Spinal Tap, that is not happening on the Liam Gallagher show. Noel Gallagher is not suddenly going to turn up at the Liam Gallagher show and give Liam Gallagher all of that.
That's the thing, isn't it? There's no way that Noel's, either the ego, certainly Noel's, would allow him to go to a Liam Gallagher show and turn up and just do it. Like, if it's happening, it's preordained, it's announced. You know, it's gonna be well signposted. There's absolutely no way Noel's gonna come for a Liam gig. Absolutely no way. And vice versa.
No, absolutely. Who have we got? We said Lee Cardoso said, I think it'll be a great year for both of them. Liam's DM tour, a new album, and Noel's another new album. Well, I don't think Noel will get a new album out, but you never know. Alan McGee is next to Liam at some way because of the support bands of the tour. It can mean something or nothing, and we're still waiting for the Gallagher reunion. It's a good point. So, you know, so on, we haven't mentioned that actually, on Liam's tour, it's what, The View and Cast supporting. Mm-hmm. So, number one, great. You know, that I'd much rather see, you know, Cast than, like, you know, Loyal Khana or whatever, some like modern kind of rapper or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's fine when he's played and he's had a number of sort of modern bands or modern artists supporting. It's always been interesting, but to be honest, if you're drunk and at a Liam, definitely maybe tribute show, I'd much rather have him supported by Cast or Ocean Colour Scene or like, you know, a Britpop band or Ashcroft again, you know, so that would be much better for me. And yeah, and McGee manages both those bands, so there's the link. Philip Mottaz has been on here. He's a mystery author. He said they find out Liam and Noel find out they stand to inherit a fortune with the caveat that they both must spend the night in a haunted house. I'd love that. That'd be good fun.
As long as they filmed it, we can just hear about it afterwards.
Yeah, that'd be a very weird thing to hear afterwards. Dee Dee, who lives in Australia, as you may understand from this, Liam won't make it to Australia. Noel won't make it to Australia. Oasis won't make a comeback or make it to Australia. So pretty much the same as 2023. Yeah, that would be good. Come on, guys. Come and help our Australian friends. Dan Best, Scott McLeod. Good one, Dan. Scott McLeod leaves his Fitbird and gets in touch with IT, long lost family, and gets Davina McCall to reunite BDR. There you go. I like it. And well, here we go. The Moderner says, I genuinely think a reunion could be in order, although people thought it was the end times 2000 years ago as well, and we're still here. So yeah, it's looking unlikely, isn't it? But yeah, well done. Well done, chaps.
You're right. I mean, yeah, things might change and, you know, moods might change and they might be a lot closer to a reunion. I mean, Noel's talk did soften during the course of the year. I think it's hardened again a little bit now, but yeah, it did sound soft. So I think he's a little bit more open to it. And obviously money talks. And I also think there's probably a part of Noel that probably thinks similar to how we kind of put Oasis to bed in his early 40s. I imagine there's probably a thing of him goes, do we really want to be reuniting in our 60s? So there's that. But yeah, I don't know. I imagine Noel hasn't even decided yet, to be honest.
Yeah, it will happen if it happens, but it won't happen. But no, like we've talked about, the rumor has always been, the rumor I've heard for a couple of years now is 2025, like big shows in Wembley. And, you know, so it's then you've got the 30th anniversary of their biggest album, Wembley and the Etihad, like multiple nights at both. And that would make sense, you know, 10 nights Wembley, 10 nights Etihad, you know, then you haven't got the hassle of touring. You know, they both live in London, they've got homes in Manchester. They could very easily set up shop and do that. That would be the most kind of sensible way to do it. And then you could just block out like a month and then it's done, you know. And that would make ridiculous money. You know what I was thinking the other day? You know, I'm a big boxing fan. And at the moment, you've got the Riyadh season, right? If you're into boxing, Saudi Arabia have got the Riyadh season, and they are just throwing money at boxers. So this weekend, we've got Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua both fighting on the same card, which is just unheard of. You know, you'd normally be, and they've got, finally, talk about Liam and Noel reuniting. The one thing that we never thought we'd see in boxing is Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn talking to each other. The two promoters that absolutely have hated each other for years, slagged each other off, and money talks. That's the thing. These Saudis have got unlimited money. And so they've been able to put these mega fights together. They've also got Fury and Usyk happening in February, which is just impossible. You know, it can't be done because these guys command far too much money to actually fight each other and take that risk. And yet they did it. So part of me thinks if His Excellency Turki Alashik or Mohammed bin, you know, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salam, I probably said that wrong, just says, you know what would be great for Riyadh season? Oasis reunion. Put it on pay-per-view for the world. That would be, that's the sort of thing where they have got then an unlimited check. You know what I mean? And they'll say, we'll give you 100 million each. Then it happens. So that's my prediction. Turkey, His Excellency, makes it happen. Because if he can bring Hearn and Warren together, if he can bring Furry and Usyk together, he can bring the Gallaghers together.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the most depressing reunion of all time. But not beyond the realms of possibility, I suppose. I mean, the thing is, well, we know Noel's only going to do it for the money, really. So it kind of tempers that. So I suppose on the flip side of it, might as well go all out and it'd be the most horrendously capitalist, commercialised thing you've ever seen, I suppose. I wouldn't necessarily discount it.
Sorry, mate. I've just depressed you.
Massively, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I thought Liam doing Nebworth was bad. And, you know, Liam doing Definitely Maybe shows, yeah, that's fine. But, yeah, just to, I don't know, just just watching it, I just think I'd have that in the back of my head. It wouldn't stop me, obviously. But
of course, you'd pay the 50 quid pay-per-view to watch it. 100%.
Absolutely, yeah, I'd fucking buy every night. But that's not the point. just to know they've got me, just the depressing realization that they have me, but I still do it.
And you're funding that nation state as well. So that's just nice. It's just good to know, isn't it, that you're helping an evil regime.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but we would get to see them play, you know, Slide Away together for the first time since 2009. So it's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you say evil regime, we pay our taxes in the United Kingdom, so we're hardly in a position to talk, are we?
little bit politics. Oh dear. All right. Well, look, on that bombshell, we'll leave it. But
Just one thing to add. Sorry, one thing I forgot to mention. Big shout out for the Jill Fermanowski exhibition in London at Proud Galleries. I went there beginning of the month. I was in London, and if Oasis fans, you're in London. It's in central London. It's around the corner from Oxford Street, I think. Near Charing Cross, in fact. It's brilliant. It's a great little exhibition. Obviously, Jill Fernandez's got a great history of photographing other bands. It's got like The Clash, and the list is endless, really. But the Oasis stuff is kind of the main thing of the exhibition. And there's a nice like 10-minute video interview of her with Noel. I think most of that's gone online, but there's a good 10-minute interview of her with Noel. And there's loads of like unfamiliar pictures, should I say, from her time shooting Oasis. So yeah, big shout out if you're in London. I think it's on to February. So if you ever get a chance to go in London, any listener or indeed yourself, James, do it, because it's obviously free as well. It's an exhibition. There's some good little few bits of merch there as well. So yeah, recommend that.
Excellent. Well, sounds good. Cool. Okay, mate. Well, thank you very much. Great to speak to you. And have you got any books coming out next year, or has that gone a little bit quiet for now?
Well, no, I took 2023 off to kind of build up my kind of journalism reviewing side of it. And that's been good. I've made a few contacts. I say I work for Clash now. I've kind of got a few contacts, but no, back on the books next year. I have plans. I'm going to be hitting next year quite hard, I think, when it comes to books. Hopefully at least one, maybe more.
Excellent. You're doing your romance novels.
Yeah. My Jilly Cooper's getting around for her money. Oh, hopefully, still to be confirmed, I'm going to be going to the Sphere in Vegas in January to see you too.
Oh wow, that'd be exciting! I saw that on I saw that on YouTube. That looks really nuts.
I think the venue's obviously going to stay open forever, but like, U2, one of my favorite bands. I make no bones about that. But also, they're doing my favorite album of theirs, and it looks phenomenal. And I've literally got a free ticket, so I'm just like, can't really say no to that. So yes, hopefully that all goes in January. So yes, another reason to be excited. If you follow my social media, that'll be plastering that at the end of the month. You'll basically get a video of the whole set, I would have thought. Probably.
Don't put your phone down. Enjoy it. Live in the moment.
Whatever. I've got books to sell. I need to build up my profile.
Cool. All right, mate. Great to speak. Have a great Christmas. And all the best 2024 if we don't speak.
And you, mate. Have a Christmas. And love to Merry Christmas to all the family and all to all the listeners at home.
All the Oasis podcast family. Let's do it. Cheers, mate.
See you, mate. Round our sleigh, the bells are ringing. Round our sleigh, the stars shine bright. Round our sleigh, the choir sings for you, 'cause they know.
Right, so thank you very much to Richard. Great to catch up as always. And make sure you're giving him a follow, RB Music Writer. If you're wondering what that little snippet of music was there, that was a track that me and my good friend Joel did a couple of years ago, Round Our Sleigh, which is on YouTube. You can give that a listen in full. I'll drop a link in the notes below. All right, let's see what's in Santa's mailbag, shall we? Here we have a message from Patrick, who has a Noel review.
Hi James, Patrick here. Haven't messaged in a while. I hope you're well and looking forward to Christmas and New Year. and yeah, all the festivities that come with it. I just wanted to send in a quick review of Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds at Leeds Arena on Monday the 18th of December. So I haven't seen him this tour. The last time I saw him, I think it was June 2022, not long after Liam had played Nebworth, actually. Saw him at Peace Hall, and he was great then. Kind of the tail end of the Who Built the Moon kind of set after 5 years of that album, which is a bit mad. I think the big issue for hardcore fans on this tour has been the set list, hasn't it? And been the lack of changing up the Oasis songs in the main. But thinking back to the summer, like all the positive reviews that came from those gigs that he did in the summer, like everybody who went seemed to be having a great time. And so I kind of went into this one, I'd obviously seen that he hadn't changed the set list at all up from the summer. And I think that is disappointing because, you know, just chucking one or two different ones, you know, for the arena tour, I think that would make sense. And it's just, it's very null, it's very lazy. But that being said, it was a great night and the set does work really well. I disagree with those who say it doesn't. I think he's nailed it with the half High Flying Birds, then the back half being just this big sing-along, essentially. But, you know, all the songs were well received. You know, it was a really good atmosphere, which helps. It always helps, you know, week before Christmas, everyone's kind of in the mood. You know, no one's, you know, maybe a Monday night in the middle of September or October doesn't quite get that reaction, but the crowd would bang up for it. But, you know, Pretty Boy went down really well. Council Skies went down really well. Easy Now, really, really, like, huge tune. You know, Open the Door, See What You Find sounded great. Like, all the High Flying Birds songs went down really well. And then the Oasis songs, just kind of that, like I said, that kind of epic sing-along at the end from Going Nowhere onwards was brilliant to see. And the band just get better and better every time. They are such a tight unit. You know, they are a fantastic, fantastic live band. So I think the only criticism can be that he doesn't change the set list up. However, I think if you put you take a step back and you put like the casual, more casual fan boy hat on or fangirl hat on, you can see why it's a set that works so well, especially for an arena crowd. You know, because it just gets such a big sing along at the end that everybody comes out of it feeling like euphoric, like you should do, but you kind of had that, you have that sustained euphoria of like half an hour, 40 minutes, where every song you just, everyone's belting along every word at the top of their voices. It's not perfect. Noel's a lazy bastard. I think we all know that. I don't get why. Look, I love the Mighty Quinn. And again, the cover's great. Noel sounds great. The band sound great. But again, it's like, do you really need to be doing a cover when you could surely chuck in, you know, another Oasis song? And surely the importance of being idle doesn't need to be played. You know, I think there's certain songs that now we just have to accept he'll always play. Don't Look Back in Anger, you know, Little by Little is massive for him. Half the World Away, he's always going to play those songs. The Master Plan was immaculate as well. But, like, the importance of being idle, do you really need to put that in there, Noel? Now, like, I love that song, but come on, man. Like, you know, there's other ones you can play, and likewise with a cover. You know, and even if that was one more High Flying Birds and one more Oasis or whatever, like, you know, get the set up to 20 songs. But, you know, in terms of value for a night out, it was brilliant. In that regard, fair play to him. At the end of the day, he's, what, 56, 57 years old now. And this is the first time I've seen him on this tour. I'm quite happy that I waited this long and got, like, kind of, you know, I didn't rush to see him in the summer. But I do think it was a really good gig and a good night out. So, yeah, that would be kind of my review of it. The band sound great. Noel sound great. His vocals on Live Forever are exceptional as well. Like, the end where it's singing "Live Forever," "We're Gonna Live Forever" over and over. Like, he he absolutely nailed it, and it was it shows as well just how far he's come as a frontman in the last 15 years as well. And just, yeah, fantastic night out. You know, hopefully for next year's gigs, he finally changes the setup a bit, but I won't hold my breath. But I think we just have to accept that he's very, very lazy, isn't he? Yeah, that's all from me. Like I said, have a great Christmas. Thanks.
Cheers, Patrick. Pleased you enjoyed it, mate. And yeah, let's hope he does mix up the set list. I think that's the key thing. That's the key thing we all want. Something a bit different. But no, you make a very good point. If he did mix up the set list, he was playing random, you know, album tracks that, you know, 10% of us would be absolutely jumping up and down in for joy. And then, like, you know, 90% of people would probably be scratching their heads and going to the bar. So I get it, especially for an arena crowd. While we're talking about Noel, actually, something that me and Richard completely forgot to mention, because it's been, 10 days now, they released a couple more tracks from the Abbey Road sessions. They'd released a few months back, Open the Door, See What You Find, and those couple of little snippets of Dead to the World from the Strings and the Council Skies on the Strings that they dropped through. At the time, you remember, they just put the letters, and it was like, oh, what could that be? What could that mean? That was all good fun. But yeah, now they've dropped Going Nowhere and The Master Plan. And they're great. They're really, really good. I like them. Obviously, they're sort of, you know, this was like their rehearsal process, really, for them playing them through before they then sort of went and played them out live on the gigs this year. And so they're not massively different from the what we've heard live, but I think it's really great to hear them sort of recorded so well. I think that the big thing that stuck out for me was the drumming, actually, hearing Chris Sharrock's drumming. We don't talk about him too much. We tend to talk about Noel, or we'll talk about Jess on the backing vocals and things like that. But actually, like, I thought Chris's drumming really stood out here. I was really impressed by it. And yeah, the one thing I thought was disappointing, especially on, you know, on the, well, both the Master Plan and Going Nowhere, which has got strings all through them, and horns and Going Nowhere and everything, but there wasn't any, you know. And you think, well, you're at Abbey Road, you could have got that, but they didn't. And to be fair, obviously, it's massively expensive, and if you're not going to bring strings and horns on the road with you, then I get it. Why would you bother? But I don't know. I think it lacks a little bit not having the live strings and horns, but you know, Mikey Rowe on the keyboards does a great job of replicating all that sort of stuff. And then there's the other keyboard player, actually, I still don't know who that is. I've probably seen it somewhere, but anyway, but yeah, so let's have a little snippet of those. Let's have some new music, shall we? First up, here's a band from Canada we've heard from before, Silvertone Hills. Here's a message from Andrew, and yeah, he's dropped us a nice little message commenting on the recent books episode, plus he's dropped over a new track of theirs, so let's give it a listen.
Hey, this is Andrew from the Canadian rock band Silvertone Hills. Been catching up on my Oasis podcast lately and just wanted to give some thoughts on the book episode. So I really enjoyed Tony's book for its honesty. Paulo Hewitt's was great because of how detailed it was. It really felt like you were there with them. And I'm a sucker for coffee table books too, so I have the Nebworth book, and it's a great kind of thing to flip through here and there. My favorite Oasis material to read are actually the kind of career-spanning magazines. So one of the first things I ever got was this uncut Ultimate Music Guide. And I love going through it because it has every album, every track ranked, interviews from every period kind of sandwiched in between. And it's a great read to kind of get like an overview of everything that they kind of went through in their career. And then similarly, another one that's really cool is this Mojo Collector series, What's the Story? So there's two parts, which is kind of nice because a lot of Oasis content kind of stops after 1999-ish. So yeah, these are great. I think you can still find them online if you sort of dig through some of the magazine websites. But obviously, I love reading anything that I can get my hands on about Oasis. And after hearing that podcast, I am going to grab a copy of Some Might Say. So thanks, James, for having me on here. Once again, I'm from the Canadian rock band Silvertone Hills. We just put out our debut full-length album this October. It's called Limits. The song you're going to hear now is called Big Empty Sky, which is the opening track. If you like what you're hearing, you can check us out on all the streaming services. We're called Silvertone Hills. And check out our Instagram if you want to buy a vinyl. Cheers. Shine a light upon the empty sky. Let your soul sing out above. Lead the path for all the lonely souls. May the two be filled with love. What you give comes back in time. Any hand's not wasting time for you and I to start to shine a light upon the empty sky.
Great stuff. Thank you, Andrew. Really like that. Great tune. So make sure you guys are checking that out. Yeah, great point about the, not just books, but actually those magazine retrospectives. They are great. You know, I do really like those. They maybe feel a little bit less intimidating to flick through than a book. You can just flick through one of those magazines. And yeah, they are always great. I love reading the old interviews as well. That's always fun. That was one of the nice things, like I said, about Kaz's New Zealand book was seeing those old interviews I'd never seen before. You just get a different vibe, don't you? And it's just good to be back in that, kind of back in that place as when people were talking to the band at different times and where they were. It is always fun. Definitely grab a copy of Some Might Say, you know, because Richard's struggling. It's you've got to support Richard Bowes at Christmas. He's a poor fella. He's got to go to a gig every week, or at least two a week. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Andrew. Appreciate it. And good luck with the band in the new year. All right, we've got another new music here. This is from Robbie Buckley, who's also dropped me a little message.
I'm Robbie Buckley, and this is my song, I Feel Like Starting a Fire. From an early age, Oasis were always on in our house. The first gig that I ever went to was Oasis at Wembley with my dad when I was 15 years old. And for a majority of the time that I've been writing songs, I've been wanting to write them just like Noel Gallagher. I think his catchy melodies and lyrics about being free and wanting a better life are always something that have spoken to me and something I've always tried to replicate in my own work. Me and my brother are both musicians and we often get called the Gallagher brothers, so that just shows the influence is pretty strong. It's fantastic to know that the Oasis podcast exists so that people can continue to connect and discuss everything they love about the greatest band to ever walk the earth. So thank you, Oasis podcast, for taking the time to listen to my track and for all your kind words about it.
Great stuff. Thank you, Robbie. And you can give Robbie a follow on X, formerly Twitter and TikTok, Ribaldo94, and Instagram and Threads, first_class94. There you go. Great stuff. All right. I think that'll do it. Unless there's something else massive that me and Richard have forgotten, like is normally the case over here. So just go and check out. One other thing, I got replied to by Liam on Twitter yesterday. So with the whole Squire announcement thing, he tweeted, I happened to be out sort of Christmas shopping after, you know, I mentioned on the interview with Richard I was going out Christmas shopping. I just happened to look at my phone and Liam had tweeted like 2 minutes ago. So I just quickly replied, Liam, are you doing any gigs with Squire? And he just replied, 2024 omnipresent, which I thought was quite a nice reply, actually. I mean, he's not confirmed or denied, but at least we know he is. So I'm scratching it up to a Liam Gallagher interview completed in 2023. You are very welcome. I also said that screws my notifications because it's quite, you know, I tend to keep an eye on my Twitter to see what's going on. And once you get a reply from Liam, if you've had a reply from Liam before, it's just like, oh God, that's it. I just haven't got a clue now. I've like, look at my phone. I've got 173 notifications. Oh, okay. It's just everyone liking a reply to you. So yeah, but that was good to hear from Liam. Thank you very much for listening today. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. I just put up a fun episode on Patreon. I sort of talked through all of the history, what we've done this year on the podcast, like going all the way back to January when Noel first released Easy Now and we heard the Sawmill Sessions for the first time, all that sort of stuff. So that was really good to sort of just give a bit of a recap on that. So yeah, if you're a patron or you want to check it out, go and give it a listen and you can sort of reminisce and maybe go back to a few of those episodes if you want to give them a listen. And then also, like I said, I did that sort of Oasis albums ranked by production, which is really good fun. And what do you think wins? Definitely Maybe, Morning Glory, Be Here Now. Maybe I've gone off piste and picked Dig Out Your Soul. You never know. I'll give you a clue. It's not Heathen Chemistry. But anyway, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. And give us a follow on Twitter. I'm not calling it X, at Oasis Podcast. And you can give me a follow on Instagram, Oasis Pod, but to be honest, I haven't really gone on it for ages. So, I'm mainly focusing on the old Twitter. Have a brilliant Christmas, everyone. I hope you have a really good time. I hope you see your families and, you know, your friends, enjoy yourself and have a brilliant time. And then, let's have a great 2024. It should be really, really special. So, and you've always got a friend over here at the Oasis Podcast. Right. That'll do it. Thank you very much for listening. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.